to not grow weary, to not give up, to keep reaching people for Jesus and helping them to follow him. But then it hit me. Isn't this a message we all need to hear? Because as people, we can all tend to slip, to stall, and to stagnate, can't we? Especially when it comes to fulfilling our purpose as God's church. Why? Well, it becomes somewhere along the line, life inevitably happens, doesn't it? We might get blindsided, bothered, or burdened, or really just get a case of the blahs from time to time. Amen? And before we know it, things start to pile up until we start feeling like it's just starting to get to be too much. So we get tired. We get troubled. We get tempted to move our focus from Christ's commission to my comfort. And when this happens, we begin to desire our personal preferences over God's eternal purpose. And this is a warning, an encouragement, and I believe a challenge that I believe is for just as appropriate for us here today, as God has been building momentum in Devon Community Church. Amen? The text I felt led to was written by Paul to the church that was in Galatia. I love when I get those holy moments there like that. That was amazing. The text is written by Paul, church in Galatia, which is in modern-day Turkey. He said this, "If you follow your selfish desires, you'll harvest destruction. But if you follow the Spirit, you will harvest eternal life. Don't get tired of helping others. You will be rewarded when the time is right if you don't give up." Dear God, I just pray that you would open our minds to understand your heart in this passage as we open our hearts to receive what you want us to do all about it, God. Amen. You know, it's been said that the church is only one generation away from extinction. If every generation doesn't find a way to reach the next, then the church will not survive. Amen, Kathy? Where are you hiding? She's the next generation, one of the next generation pastors or leaders at directors at the district office. And so I just wanted to throw that in there just for her. You know, it can start with just one missed opportunity. One missed opportunity here, one little disobedience there, and before you know it, the mission that Jesus gave us begins to fade into the background. Paul's words to the Galatians, I think, are a rallying cry for us today. Don't get tired, he says. Don't lose momentum. Keep sowing the seeds of the good news about Jesus through your good works and your good words, because there is a harvest coming. The three truths that Paul points out in our text are, number one, everybody plants. Everybody plants. If you have your outline, you know what to do. If you don't have your outline, ask for one. Fill in there, plants. You know, whether you realize it or not, you are planting seeds every single day through your thoughts, your words, your actions, and even your attitudes. The question is not, am I planting? But rather, what am I planting? Because Paul says, if you follow your selfish desires, you will harvest destruction. Now, you may already realize on a personal level that this refers to living based on your own selfish desires, right? Self-centeredness and for really living for temporary pleasures. Paul warned the Roman church that if our minds are ruled by our desires, we will die. But if our minds are ruled by the Spirit, we will have life and peace. But how does this all translate onto into like a corporate level for us here as a church? What does it mean for Devon Community Church to follow its selfish desires? Well, I believe it means just turning inwards, prioritizing our comfort over our mission, and investing all of our time, talent, and toonies on ourselves instead of the lost souls in our community and the world. But then Paul says, if you follow the Spirit, you'll harvest eternal life, right? Again, on a personal level, following the Spirit means obeying God's instructions in the Bible, following the Spirit's leading, doing what pleases the Father and glorifies Jesus Christ. On a corporate level, I believe it means staying true to the Bible, to God's word, encouraging one another unto love and good works, and being relentlessly outbound. Every outreach event, every act of service, every sermon preached, every cup of coffee shared with someone who doesn't know Jesus is a seed that is planted into their lives. I'm reminded of the story that Jesus told about the three employees that we know as the parable of the talents, right? Each worker was given a different amount of money to use to produce more money for their employer, right? The first two doubled what they were given. But the third replied this way, "Sir, I know you are hard to work for. You harvest what you don't plant, gather crops where you haven't scattered seed. I was frightened and went out and hid your money in the ground. Here is every single coin." Now, you could say that this guy was given some money to plant, right? To invest, to use for the benefit of his boss, but instead he literally plants it in the ground. I wonder, did he think that he could actually grow a money tree? Like my grandpa used to always tell me. I'm sure he dug up those quarters after I was gone. But what was this guy thinking? I'll tell you exactly what he was thinking. He was thinking of himself. Only of himself. Because he admits it. He says, "I was frightened." He didn't want to do anything that might be risky for him. Yet he himself knew and testified that his employer was a risk taker who harvested in areas that he'd never even planted any seeds. He thought outside the box, or outside the field in this case. He didn't settle for what he already knew and what he'd already done before. Instead, it says his employer looked for new opportunities and tried new ventures. I want you to imagine a farmer who owns 100 acres. He's a small farmer. He's probably a BC farmer. Out here, it would be 10,000 acres, I know. But he had 100 acres, but he only plants on 10 of them. Why? Well, because he's familiar with that area. He's planted there before. The other 90 acres remain untouched, season after season, producing nothing. He has the land, he has the seed, he has the tools, but because he doesn't plant, he gets nothing from it. There is no harvest. And folks, the reason I say this is because churches do this all the time. God has given us opportunities. He's given us resources and open doors to plant. the good news of Jesus Christ. But if we only sow in safe places or with sure results, much of the field remains empty. God is looking for some risk takers who will plant in new areas, doing whatever it takes to rescue more souls for his kingdom. Please do not selfishly bury your time, your talents, or your treasures. Instead, use them to reach people, reach the least, reach the last, reach the lost. And you will harvest. You will reap a harvest of souls. The second truth Paul points out is that everyone harvests. Everyone plants, but everyone harvests. You know, Alberta farmers know God's unchangeable law, don't we? You reap what you sow. You don't plant thistles and expect strawberries. You don't plant laziness and expect success. Paul uses this picture in Galatians, I think, to teach us a spiritual truth. Every choice you and I make is a seed planted into the soil of lives, and those seeds will grow. And one day, there will be a harvest. Harvest of what, though, right? Planting is about now. Harvesting is about later. There's always a gap between planting and reaping, right? But the harvest always comes. Look at it again. If you follow your selfish desires, you'll harvest destruction. If you follow the Spirit, you will harvest eternal life. Everything you do, every decision you make, every word you speak is a seed that you plant. And every seed will eventually produce something, either good or bad. We can see examples of this in the Bible. The psalmist wrote, "Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy." The book of Proverbs warns that those who plant injustice will harvest disaster. Folks, you don't have to be a scholar to know that sowing gossip will reap broken relationships. Sowing generosity will reap blessings. Sowing kindness will reap open hearts. And sowing truth will reap trust. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you also know and should know that sowing time and prayer reaps spiritual strength. The ancient prophet wrote, "Those who wait on God get fresh strength." No one can escape the law of sowing and reaping. There are no shortcuts. There are no loopholes. The farmer knows you can't change last season's harvest today, but you can choose what to plant next. And that goes for the church as well, I believe. If we plant kindness into our community, we'll harvest soft hearts and open doors. If we plant the good news about Jesus with our neighbors and our neighbors, we'll harvest new followers for him. Jesus said, "Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven." You will seldom, if ever, see immediate results. I remember once when we were trying something new, some new outreach. We were trying to reach out to the community. And at the next board meeting, I was asked by a banker, "How many of those people came to church next Sunday?" Now, if that guy had been a farmer, he would have known that seeds take time to germinate and grow. It was the first time we'd ever tried this thing. It was a first handshake. It wasn't a marriage proposal. Not yet. This is what Paul taught the Corinthian church. I planted the seeds in your heart. Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. Did you know that Chinese bamboo is planted as a seed, it's watered, and it's cared for, but nothing happens for 5 years? Then in one short season, it shoots up to over 80 feet. All that time, the roots were growing deep beneath the surface, preparing the plant for that explosive growth. And sometimes I think it works like that in communities too. We might not see results right away. People may ignore our invitations. They may reject conversations, and they may resist change. But the roots of truth are growing. Until one day, when the Spirit brings a sudden breakthrough. Paul says in our text, you will be rewarded when the time is right if you don't give up. The reward, the harvest, it comes at the right time, when the time is right, when God says it's ready. Not on our timetable. Never on our timetable. Our job is just to keep on sowing, keep on planting. God's job is to make it grow. The final truth that Paul wants us to understand is a warning for us, and it's that not everyone will be rewarded. You know, I read that on the night the Titanic sank, many lifeboats left the ship half empty. Some feared going back for survivors, thinking it was too dangerous or it was just too late. But by the time a few finally turned back, most of those in the water had perished already. Folks, if the church loses its urgency for reaching the lost, for rescuing those drowning in their sin, we're no better than those lifeboats that rowed away from those drowning souls. We may think that we're protecting ourselves, but we're really abandoning those that Jesus commissioned us to save. Paul says the reward is only promised to those who don't give up rowing towards the rescue. Look at the verse again. Don't get tired of helping others. You will be rewarded when the time is right if you don't give up. And so here's the sobering truth. The rewards aren't for everyone. They're for those who persevere. If you don't give up, he says. That means endurance is essential, right? The letter to the early Hebrews church says, you need endurance so that after you've done what God wants you to do, you can receive what he has promised. You can receive the reward. As we've already learned, the harvest takes work. It takes time, and it takes perseverance. I've seen too many people in church get all excited about going out and reaching their community, and then they just grow weary and they quit when it doesn't happen right away. Not when it doesn't happen in their timetable, or as quick as they thought, as they hoped, or maybe it costs more than of their time or of their resources. Just costed more than they were willing to give. Others I've seen they planted well for a while, but then the cares, the worries of life get in the way, they turn back to living for themselves. Paul says the reward only belongs to the faithful and fruitful. Those who keep planting the good works and the good news of Jesus until their final breath. And this can happen on a personal and a corporate level. Churches can lose momentum for many reasons, folks. Discouragement, distraction, or just plain fatigue. But Jesus never said it would be easy. He said it'd be worth it. It'd be worth it. James was the first pastor at the church in Jerusalem, right? He wrote that, if you turn sinners from the wrong way, you will save them from death. And Jesus promised in the book of Revelation, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. The reward isn't just for you once you get to heaven. It's also here, now, seeing the lives that are transformed because of you. That family member finally comes to Christ. That neighbor who gets baptized. That young person who chooses Jesus over the world. Those are glimpses of the reward that you get to enjoy now. The crown of life that will be yours in heaven. If the church doesn't sow into outreach and missions, the harvest will never come. You don't sow, you don't get. But if we stay faithful, there will be a season of reaping and rejoicing, unlike anything we can imagine. Every day, you're planting something. One day, you will harvest what you've planted. And one day, God will reward those who have faithfully sown to bear fruit for his kingdom without giving up. The mission is urgent. Jesus said, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. So please, please, please don't lose momentum. Don't lose the momentum he's given us thus far. Let's just keep it going. We can't turn inward, folks. We can't stop planting. We gotta keep moving. The harvest is coming if we keep at it. People are lost. They're hurting. They're far from God. And we know the only one who can save them. And he's the one who will one day reward us for what we've planted into their lives. If we planted good seed as faithful, fruitful followers of Jesus, then he'll reward us with life forever with him. Crown of life. But if we only planted seeds of selfishness, rejecting really what Jesus did for us, he says we'll receive destruction. Because Jesus came, he died, and he rose again to make a way for you and me and every single person to be with him forever. All you have to do is believe in him. Receive him as Lord of your life. Then do what he says. Just live for him. He'll show you what to do, where to go, who to talk to, what not to do. And the reality is, if you haven't done this before in your life ever, maybe you're here today and you're ready. I want to take that step today. Then I want to help you. And you can simply pray along with me from your heart, a simple prayer of confession and commitment. And Jesus will plant that seed of faith into your life and grow it into a fruitful life with him. If we can bow our heads together, if If that's you, could you just quickly raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with? You can just pray along with me. Thank you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I've come to you. I've come to ask you. Please save me today. I need to be rescued from the bad seeds that I've sown in my life so far. I confess, God, I really have only been planting only for myself. Things that please me, things that I want to do. Please forgive me and help me to start living for you right now. I don't understand it all, but I believe in you. And I invite you, I do invite you to lead my life from now on. Please help me to start and to persevere in planting the good seeds and the good news of who you are, Jesus, about your kingdom. Thank you for accepting me today, God, and for making me a part of your forever family. Please help me to grow to be more like Jesus and fulfill your purpose for me. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. The band could come back. If you did pray that prayer for the first time today, would you please let me know by filling in the Connect card that's in the back of your seat, dropping it off at the red table out in the foyer. If you're watching online, there's a card attached to this video live stream, and you can fill that in as well. We've got some great resources I'd love to share with you and connect with you and help you as you start this journey, this new life with Jesus. I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Cole, and then we'll wrap up.